From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Negotiations on a possible deal to reduce the federal deficit resume this week, with Democrats reportedly floating ideas that could boost tax revenues by hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade. The Wall Street Journal reports those ideas include a possible cap on the value of itemized deductions for high-income Americans. The Senate is back in session today, and NPR's David Wellner reports lawmakers will face a vote on an issue that's far removed from the deficit talks.
The first order of business for the Senate will be to try to break a filibuster blocking consideration of a joint resolution that backs U.S. military operations in Libya for up to 1 year. The House last month defeated a similar measure. Tennessee Republican Bob Corker opposed the Senate's version when it was considered in committee. He now has to skip what was to have been a week-long break.
And I'm glad of that, okay? But we're going to burn the week up talking about an issue that has nothing whatsoever to do with the most pressing issue in our country right now, which is the debt ceiling. And it just speaks to how dysfunctional this whole place is.
It's not clear whether the Libya measure has the 60 votes needed to move forward. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
Two bomb attacks in Iraq today have killed at least 27 people and wounded more than two dozen others. The attacks occurred in a town north of Baghdad. Explosives in a parked car were detonated, and then a roadside bomb exploded as people gathered to help victims from the first blast. Heavily armed security forces in Syria have surrounded the town that has been a focus of the uprising against the government of that country's leader, Bashar Assad. NPR's Deborah Amos says hundreds of residents have taken to the streets to try to head off any assault.
Tanks have cut off all roads outside of Hama, and the residents have blocked all roads inside. We are told that there are thousands of young people on the streets manning barricades. They're armed with slingshots, a couple of Molotov cocktails. By controlling the town, the residents say that they have stopped the arrests. There were sweeping arrests early yesterday morning.
NPR's Deborah Amos in Damascus. Four NATO soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the deaths occurred in two separate incidents.
NATO does not disclose the nationalities of soldiers killed in Afghanistan. Fighting in the east is complicated by a porous border with Pakistan and militants who regularly cross the mountains to safe havens on either side. American officials say the shift of attention to the east reflects their success at driving the Taliban out of traditional strongholds in the south. The Pakistani army has recently fired rockets across into Afghanistan, killing Afghan civilians. Pakistan says Taliban fighters crossing from Afghanistan have killed dozens of their security personnel. Speaking in Kabul, Afghan President Hamid Karzai said he would seek a diplomatic solution to the border clashes that would spare civilian lives on both sides. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
This is NPR News from Washington. Wall Street begins a shortened trading week today. Stocks on Asian markets have stalled today after comments by Standard & Poor's suggesting that Greece may be unable to avoid a default on government debt. NPR's John Itzty reports investors in the U.S. are hoping that last week's rally in stocks can be sustained.
U.S. stocks had their best week in 2 years last week. They were propelled higher partly by investor optimism over a temporary resolution of the Greek debt situation. Strong manufacturing data also helped add to investor enthusiasm. The Dow Jones Industrials and the S&P 500 both gained about 5.5% last week. The Nasdaq rose more than 6%. Economic data out this week will play a big role in determining whether the positive trend continues. Especially important is the June employment report to be released on Friday. Analysts are predicting it will document another month of weak job growth. John Itzty, NPR News, Washington.
Mountain snowmelt is boosting water levels on the Yellowstone River in Montana, and that could make it harder for cleanup crews to get to areas damaged by oil from a ruptured ExxonMobil pipeline. The head of ExxonMobil Pipeline Company, Gary Prusing, is backing off his earlier assertion that any damage is limited to a 10-mile stretch of the river.
We understand this is a very serious event. We understand that we need to get our full arms around where the exposure areas are. We have not fully completed that yet, so we continue to look downstream to make sure that we've identified all the areas that we need to address.
An estimated 42,000 gallons of oil spilled into the Yellowstone River before the flow from the broken pipe was halted. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.